We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the CHGO Bulls podcast. This is a Thursday HQ edition with me, Will Gottlieb, your host. You can find me on Twitter at Will_Gottlieb. And as always, I'm joined by Mark Kay from Australia at MK Hoops on Twitter. We've got Lawrence pushing some buttons at the CHGO studios. We're doing this one remote. But Mark, Friday morning for you. How's everything going?
I'm good, William. Friday morning, day off today. Nice, that's good. Got my latte in my hand, speaking to my mate, Will.
Is it warm this week? Is it warm this week? Last week, I remember it was like cold.
It's going to be hot today.
And hot the latte. Yeah.
So, the coffee, yeah.
The latte. You were complaining about it being cold last week.
I thought you meant the temperature. No, yeah, my latte, it's warm. It took me an hour of last week's podcast to realize what I did wrong with my latte. And I realized at the conclusion of last week's podcast that, I forgot to actually heat the milk. That's why my latte was cold. It all makes sense now.
And these are the types of insights we'll be getting today on the Bulls HQ.
Well, thank you for beaming yourself in there, LB, because I'm not logged into StreamYard, so I can't actually see LB off the side like we usually can. I also can't see the comments, but we'll keep rolling. He's not really a significant part of the show anyway, so it doesn't really matter what Lawrence is or isn't doing.
Well, we've got Daniel with the what's up, Fish with the hand wave emoji, so we got some people with us today. It is 6:30 on Thursday. It's the opening day. First pitch is about to happen for the Chicago Cubs, playing against the apparent World Series champion, defending champs, reigning champs, I should say, Texas Rangers. So maybe there won't be a ton of people here joining us today, but that's okay, because we've got some Bulls to talk about in case anybody still cares about this 35 and 38 team. Look, they got a nice win last night against the Pacers, but they had lost three in a row before that. They had a nice defensive game last night, holding the Pacers to 99 points, but have been like 28th in defense this month. So, I mean, this team is just, it feels to me, Mark, like they are just kind of running out of steam here. Is that kind of the sense you're getting to?
Yeah, I think so. And that's not a criticism. I think, like, given the amount of, you know, the amount of miles that are on DeMar's legs at this point, more generally this season, but across his career, obviously the ask of Kobe, you know, being top five in minutes in the NBA, having to play a position, a role, a level of priority within the offense that he hasn't necessarily been exposed to before for a prolonged period like this. Even guys like Io, who are getting run at a position maybe that he hasn't played to this extent, to this amount of minutes. Caruso, obviously, as well. They're asking a ton of him. Even Vooch and Drummond, to be fair, like those guys aren't like the most nimble of bigs. They're available virtually every night. What the Bulls are asking both of those guys, or asking of them every night, like at some point it is going to catch up with them, and it speaks to the lack of depth on the roster. which I think plays a part in these inconsistent results that we're sort of seeing, whereby you can have this amazing performance against the Pacers and then drop one against the Wizards. There's a lot of mental energy that goes into this as well, let alone the whole physical side of things. So we're getting towards the conclusion of the season. The Bulls have asked a tremendous amount of their players. Beyond that initial 19 games, I think the Bulls have, or the players themselves have exceeded expectations from that standpoint. So I'm not going to get too carried away or blame them for running out of steam here, because, you know, it should have been predictable in some senses.
Yeah, I would say the injuries are the other thing that kind of pops up with that. Like you mentioned, the workload from some of these guys, DeMar in particular. Kobe got kind of a, obviously was injured, but kind of got a week off there, which I think was nice for him. But just the minutes, DeMar is now leading the league in minutes. Kobe's fourth despite missing three games. And yeah, I think, you know, with Lonzo out, obviously you're basically playing with 14 roster spots. They just signed Batum, so that was 13 roster spots. And he wasn't playing at all while he was in the two-way. And then you lose Zach for the season. You lose Patrick. Torrey Craig misses a bunch of games. So you're just really struggling to find guys. You're playing a ton of Andre Drummond minutes with Vooch. It's just, I think, gotten to a point where they were stretched so thin. And it's just kind of coming back to bite them. And they're going to have good games like they did last night. But I feel like there was some stuff from the Wizards game that I wanted to get off my chest that we can get into here in a little bit. But first, I just wanted to kind of acknowledge something that what happened with Kobe last night. So Kobe started 0 for 6, and he's kind of been sliding a bit of late. Has not shot the ball well since he came back, really the whole post-All-Star, but in particular since he came back from the hip injury. And Billy, before the game, was saying, like, look, I'm not going to – Kobe would never say this, but I'm going to say it for him. Like, this minutes workload is catching up to him, and it's had an effect on him. And I feel like you can really see that in his game, but – Kobe's just not a complainer. He's not somebody that's going to make excuses. So Billy was just like, I'll do it for him. He's playing way too many minutes. It's like, Billy, you're in control of the minutes. But again, this circles back to the issue at hand, which is the roster construction. And so, you know, one thing, Kobe kind of heated up a little bit. I think he finished like 8 for 21. So not an efficient night. But after starting 0 for 6, he did kind of have a bit of a comeback there. And after the game, Billy said, you know, regardless of how it's going for him, he needs to be a better vocal leader. He needs to be a more consistent vocal leader, whether the shot's falling or not, whether he is, you know, really scoring or if the shot's not falling. Like, he has earned and now has the responsibility of being a vocal leader on this team. And Billy called him like a let's go guy. He's got to be like a guy that keeps the team motivated and enthused throughout the game, regardless of his play. And it seemed like he kind of got back into that. Obviously, it helps when you're playing well, but you know, as I mentioned, without so many guys on this roster, they need guys to step up. I think that's been a huge piece of Kobe's development this year. And it's clearly something that the team needs in order to just like get through this final stretch and then into the play-in. So anything you wanted to hit on Kobe before we move on to another source of energy on this team?
Well, I mean, the minutes thing is certainly the case before, but like what I'm sort of alluded to before is like he's still learning how to be this lead guy in many respects. And he's still learning how to adjust to defenses as defenses start to adjust to him. Like, so it's not one thing. It's not just the minutes, or at least from my perspective, it's not just the minutes. Like, it's all of these factors contributing at the one time. And obviously the more bodies that go out, the more emphasis defenses start to lock in on guys like Kobe. And in particular, you know, it's DeMar and Kobe. Like, they're the primary things that defenses are starting to worry about, certainly on the perimeter at least. So when you've got that added defensive attention, when you've got that added responsibility in terms of leading the offense, being the point guard of the team, either on or off ball, understanding, that's the other thing. Like, in depending on what sets they're running, there are situations where he needs to act as the one, or there's some sets where he needs to, you know, run as the two. Like, that takes a mental toll too, in addition to all the physical toll that comes with playing a bazillion amount of minutes. So it's catching up to Kobe. It's not surprising that it is. It will be better for it. But to your point, like, this speaks to roster construction and maybe not having that full trust in Javon Carter or Dalen Terry or whomever it may be. Or, you know, one night one guy may give you good minutes, but then the next he disappears and you don't know who to go to thereafter. Do I go to Javon? Do I go to Dalen? Do I go to this guy, that guy type thing? So it speaks to a lot of things. Yeah, like I said, I'm not going to blame the players or coaches for that. I think that's a roster issue. But, you know, it is, you know, what it is. It was predictable.
The other thing that Billy said, you know, as far as like making adjustments, I think a lot of people are critical of Billy because they feel like he doesn't make adjustments. I think he probably doesn't have as much leeway to be able to come up with creative solutions because of the roster. And to me, I'm totally with you on that. That's a roster thing. Like if there's not enough options for you to do stuff, like I'm not saying Billy is like a top five tactician in the league. I don't think that's the case at all, but he's really had to, I think you were right to say that they've overachieved. And I mean, if you look at their point differential and what their record is, they have overachieved by like 3 wins this year. So I think that speaks to Billy's point. But one thing that he has tried to do is take Kobe off the ball a little bit, allow him to be more of a spot up guy where he is much better than he is on the ball. Not to say he's like bad on the ball or running pick and rolls, whatever. That's obviously not true. But I think he's more productive. He's more efficient when he can play off of guys like Vooch and DeMar, you know, creating advantages for him. So I think we're seeing that a little bit more. The other side of that coin is maybe it's a little bit harder for a rhythm player like Kobe to get into a rhythm when he's touching the ball a little bit less. So just a kind of a double-edged sword there where like you don't want to overburden him, but you need him out there. So you take him off the ball, but now he's a streaky shooter and maybe he's like going to get cold and then have a harder time getting hot again. So it's just kind of a tricky situation. And, you know, totally think this is a roster situation. On that roster situation and roster notes, obviously Javonte Green came back and played his first game last night, got a huge ovation at the United Center, immediately came in and made an impact. He had a turnover, but then had a run out dunk and was making plays. He was guarding Siakam. He had a three in the corner. He was just like doing everything that Javonte does and got a really warm ovation from the crowd. The teammates were all just like super excited to have him back in the locker room. We were asking Alex Caruso about Javonte and what it's like to have him back. And as that was happening, Javonte walked from like the players lounge into the locker room, like as Caruso was saying his name, and he kind of did the like Homer Simpson, like fade gif where he just like walks back into the locker room. It was very funny. But he's just like a super humble guy. He's very thoughtful. And he obviously really appreciates the situation. Mark, as a resident Javonte Green supporter, how was it to see him playing last night?
Well, look, I'm just happy for Javonte just to be back playing basketball because, you know, irrespective of who the player is, for a player to suffer a real serious injury going into a contract year, as we've seen with Patrick Williams, as we saw last season with Javonte Green, like that is just shitty. Like these guys only have a finite time to maximize themselves as athletes, as NBA players, and to make as much money as they can, which they should and they deserve to. For Javonte to have that opportunity taken away from him because of a knee injury, and not to suggest that he was going to get, you know, a 5-year max or anything like that, but this was a guy who has worked for every single damn thing. He's, 29, 30 years of age, hasn't really had a huge payday. He probably wasn't going to get a huge payday last season, but could he have got himself like a 3-year, $10 million deal or something like that, where he could have earned himself $3 or $4 million annually rather than just the min? I think that was in play, given like the rapport that he had with the Bulls, the impact that he had for the Bulls. Like this was a guy who was impacting the game in a lot of different ways for the Bulls, as we saw last night. So firstly, I'm just happy that he's back, that he seemingly looks somewhat healthy. I'm hoping this, you know, 10-day split here, maybe he gets a second day. Like maybe this is an audition, whether it's for the Bulls or somewhere else, for him to, I guess, maximize that opportunity that went away from him last season. And I hope he gets that chance again to get back into the league next season. So I'm just really happy for Javonte. I've always loved the way he goes about it. Seemingly he's a good dude. Obviously, I don't know anything about him from a personal standpoint, but he just seems like a good guy. The way he plays, you know, he endears himself to the Chicago fan base. So more than anything, irrespective of like what he's doing to impact the game on the court, I'm just happy on a personal note that he got to experience that, I guess, to get back to playing basketball, because it's been damn near 18 months since he has been in the NBA.
Yeah, I thought it was great. Obviously, like the Bulls, I think, really need what he brings. Like they've missed Torrey Craig for so long. They're down so many guys. It felt like they kind of needed some injection of energy, and Javonte really provided that. What's your power ranking for like energy role players of the last 10 years? I'm thinking Nwaba. I'm thinking, yeah. I don't know if like Heinrich really fits into that situation. Probably not. But like, Archie Diacono? What's your top five?
Well, you're speaking my language. Javonte, Nwaba, Archie Diacono, Kirk Heinrich. These are my type of players. And
Javonte even mentioned that, like, he said after the game, he like, I understand what kind of player Chicago Bulls fans identify with, and like, that's what I bring. And I thought that was really cool.
No, it's beautiful. And I don't know. I've always enjoyed the more role guy does anything and will do anything to help the team win more so than the stars. That's just, you know, no shot at the stars. Obviously the stars are incredible. I'm not saying they're not good or anything like that, but I've just always leaned or love those players more so than the stars. And maybe that's part of me just being a natural contrarian because everyone loves the stars and I want to give love to others. But I don't know, just the way they go about it, it is just fun to see. And Javonte is the epitome of that in many respects. So is Caruso. So is David Nwaba. So is a whole heap of guys that Bulls have sort of run out of.
Caruso, obviously, 10, 15,
20 years, etc. So I don't know. I love Javonte. I'm just happy for him. Like I said, it's good.
A long cherished history of competitive role players. Let's take a quick break here and get back to it. But first, Mark, can you tell the listeners about our friends at Manscaped?
No worries. Well, I love my role players, William, but you got to also, you know, tip your hat to the stars. And our friends at Manscaped, they're helping everyone. They are the champions, the spring cleaning champions, if nothing else. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and drapes with the leaders in the below-the-waist grooming, William. Not sure if you need to do that, but I definitely do. Clear out the winter bush with Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom with the springtime flowers. It's actually autumn down here in Australia, but for you in the Northern Hemisphere, it's certainly springtime. So this is the perfect time to embrace the season and join over 10 million men worldwide who trust our friends over at Manscaped. And you can too with our special offer. When you go to manscaped.com, you use promo code BULLS. Five-letter word. It's pretty easy to spell. And when you do that, guess what? You get 20% off and free shipping. Is that easy? Like I said, 10 million blokes have invested in this. I've got the Lawnmower 2.0. I definitely need to upgrade to the 5.0. I need that. I like to get that, you know, as technology advances, I need to get up to speed with it. And like I said, I definitely need to do some grooming. So I will be jumping on manscaped.com and using promo code BULLS for 20% off and free shipping. How good is that?
That's great. And if you like to keep it tight, you can also try to keep it tight on some of these money line splits. We got the MLB season opening up today. And you know, our friends at Circa Sportsbook have you covered with those juicy minus 110 splits. Unlike other sports books who may use 115 or minus 120, they keep as little money as possible on the large market bets like futures and golf tournaments compared to other books. They also do not limit players based on their winnings. So if you are a high roller winning all of your bets, check out Circa Sportsbook because they will keep you in their app. They also encourage you to check out the lines at other sportsbooks because they understand that there's a lot of competition out there, but they are so confident in the product that they have that they want to keep you coming back for more. And they promise great customer service, unlike other sportsbooks who use the dreaded chat box. Everybody at the Circa Sports app is the same people running the actual resort in Las Vegas. So download the Circa Sports Illinois app at circasports.com/Illinois-app to sign up today. Also be on the lookout for Circa events, watch parties, and tailgates. If you or someone you know may have a problem with gambling, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. Text GAM, J-A-M-B to 833-234 or visit areyoureallywinning.com. All right, Mark. So I mentioned that I was rubbed the wrong way after a really bad loss to the Wizards in two games ago now. And I wanted to wait to wax poetic on the show with you because
to I don't know, just manscape.
To manscape poetic about
go on.
to talk about some of these games with you because I don't know, it just felt like to me the Bulls kind of, they had their bad game. Everybody kind of talked about it. And then it was like, okay, wipe the taste out of your mouth because they've got a good win against the Pacers the next night. Pacers, by the way, facing a 4-6 on a 5-game round trip. They were in California. They had, like I said, five games in seven nights, something like that. So they were exhausted on the last leg of their trip. And to the Bulls' credit, they defended well. But the defense has been a huge problem of late. We'll get into that more. But I don't know. I just feel like this whole kind of second part of the season is supposed to be about the growth of Io and Kobe. It's supposed to be about kind of the passing of the torch. And obviously, like, the Bulls are the ninth seed. They're going to like squeak into the play-in tournament. But for some reason, it just kind of rubbed me the wrong way that they were able to kind of get off scot-free from what should have been like a pretty crushing loss to the Wizards. And I think the reason is that the team just continues to push back against this narrative that getting to 500 is not a big deal. And like, I get it. I agree with it to a certain extent. You know, making it to 500 is like not something to be super proud of. But at the same time, we know that AK would get on that podium and say, we made it back to 500 after being nine games below after our first 19. So I feel like the fact that they are not setting goals or expectations, the fact that they are not committing to anything allows them to get away with not being accountable for losses like that. And I also think that it allows them to like have these vague goals that they can just reshape after the fact and point to a 9-14 record or 14-9 record rather in the final 23 games after picking up Patrick Beverley or, you know, playing much better after whatever it may be. Like they can always resort back to whatever made up number they want to in order to kind of make it seem like things are better than they are. Because at the end of the day, like, you're right, 500 is not a big deal because it's 500. It's not like this team is like competing for the second round of the playoffs, let alone like a conference finals or a championship appearance. So I don't know, that just really bothered me. And I feel like it's the kind of thing that this team continues to get away with because they continue to fly under the radar by not doing anything egregious in terms of making bad signings or bad trades or, you know, doing all, whatever it may be. Like, they just continue to kind of slide under the radar. And I feel like that they still need to be held accountable for that. So that's what I wanted to say on this podcast. What do you think about that?
No, that's fine. I think you're well within rights to think all that. I think I agree with 98.7% of that. But the only comment I would say in relation to that is, like, that's the criticism. Like, that criticism should be tabled towards management and ownership.
It is, 100%.
Yeah, good. And which is why, like, when that result happens, I don't get... More generally, like, the way this season has gone, like, there's just no point for me getting carried away with either a win or a loss, because this team is the definition of mid. And when you are this mid, you're going to have performances like you did against the Pacers. But then when you're off just so slightly, I mean, you guys talk about this all the time when I'm listening, that the margin for error for this team is so thin. Like, if we know that that's the case, then we should be expecting, you know, examples whereby teams let up and they let teams like the Wizards beat them. That can happen to a team like the Bulls, but that can happen to any damn team. Like, the Celtics were up by, what, like 20, 30 points against the Hawks the other night and they lost. So I'm not trying to excuse the players or the coaches. That was a terrible, bad loss, etc. Like, it was. But at the same time, like, this is March. This happens in the NBA at this time of year. This is also the most extremely mid team in basketball right now, where we should expect these types of sways potentially. If the Bulls are off even just like a slight percentage, they don't have that ability to swing something back. And teams like the Wizards can beat them. A team like the Spurs without Wemby beat the Suns the other day. Like, it happens more generally. So that loss didn't bother me from that standpoint. But yeah, I definitely feel you from, you know, a larger strategic management ownership type of thing. They are very fortunate that Kobe and Io have done what they've done this season. They are very fortunate that this locker room has come together, and the way they've played post that first 19 games and when the way they've salvaged this season in some respects, and getting back to that 500-ish level, management and ownership are very fortunate for that. They're also very fortunate to have a loyal fan base who will turn up no matter what. And I definitely agree with you. Like, they allow those things to impact their ability to, or their inability to, or maybe their want or lack of desire to actually be a little bit bolder than what they ultimately are. So they're fortunate that they have all these things going for them, and that fortune allows them to sort of get back to this middle plane, which you're speaking about. But like, that's an issue, a criticism that I have more generally, irrespective. Like, even if they won that Wizards game, like, that doesn't change my opinion on, or it shouldn't change your opinion on anything you just noted there. Like, for even sure. If they won or beat the Wizards by freaking 40 points, like, what you just noted would still be equally as valid. So, you know, so long as we're separating the ideas is all I'm saying, then I'm comfortable with that.
No, that's exactly what I, how I meant to direct it. But I mean, like, I guess it paints this larger picture image of this group as a whole. And I think that there's going to be, I'm predicting, this sort of narrative coming from the front office at the end of the season press conference where, you know, things were much better after the first 20 games. And we like the way that our team responded from it. Mm-hmm. That's all well and good. They have gotten some growth from guys like Kobe and Io, but at the end of the day, I just feel like DeMar is still driving almost everything for this offense. Vooch is driving almost everything for this offense. Kobe has been like a little bit higher usage than Vooch, but obviously he's missed a couple of games. Over the last 10, Kobe's usage is 24.6. Vooch's is 24.2. Drummond's is higher than Io's at 21.3. DeMar's is above what his season usage average is. So I just think that, you know, there's kind of this idea that like they've done such a good job developing the young players and that progress is not just about record. And I agree with that. But to me, the problem is that so much of that progress is still dependent on the veterans on this roster. And that's still not a sustainable long-term solution. And my guess is there's going to be a three-year contract coming for DeMar. I think that is basically locking his team into the same thing for three more years. And it just feels like really incongruent logic to me. And I 100%, I'm not like blaming the players for this. Like I said, they're overperforming their stats. I think Kobe has been really good. He's developed in a lot of different ways. I has been much better. Like the way that he was like pulling up for three, he had a movement three and a pull up three last night. I feel like there are games where he just can't miss and there are games where he's a little bit more cold, but like he never had those games where he can't miss before. So like there's going to be inconsistencies, but like the ceiling and the floor, I think, have moved up for him so much. So it's not to say that like nobody deserves credit for that. Like the player development staff has been great. The coaching staff has been great. It's a great find by AK to get Io in the second round. So I'm not trying to like say anything really other than the fact that, you know, so much of what this team is doing is still so dependent on DeMar for even as much as Io and Kobe have improved. And to me, like I said, that is a longer term issue that I don't think is going to be resolved. And to me, that's frustrating because it allows them to continue to say, well, look what we did over the second half of the season when, you know, it kind of negates or neglects to mention the fact that they still have these miserable losses to teams like the Wizards and the Pistons that just really identify the fact that this team is not good enough, even though there have been reasons for optimism. So I don't know. I feel like after a single game, it's hard to make too much of it. But to me, that kind of symbolized a lot of how I've been feeling about what I expect to hear after the All-Star break after the season about the post All-Star break. And yeah, I just wanted to get that out there.
No, I think, you know, if we wanted to create a bingo card of things AK is going to mumble his way through post-season.
We probably will.
Yeah, I think we should. And all the things you noted will be on there. And so in some respects, they should, because they are things to talk to. I think, you know, not to be complete doomer about it, like the growth of Io and Kobe is good. The way this team has responded post that initial 19 games is good. Like there's been a lot of good stories connected to this Bulls team at a very micro player-centric level. But I completely understand your rationale as well. Like that those talking points being manipulated in a way whereby it allows you to maybe spin things or try to spin things. This is the thing, like they'll try to spin things. Let's see how successful they are actually spinning that. Ultimately, it's on us, the fan base, to decide how much we actually want to absorb that said spin. But look, let's see. But whilst those talking points are true in some respects, the whole DeMar thing, like this is where I come back to. Like I think DeMar has just been so crucial for the growth of Kobe and Io. And that's the problematic element to what you're speaking to, in the sense that I think if you remove DeMar from this season, from this Bulls season, and you just sort of roll the ball out there with Kobe and Io in your backcourt and Vooch out there as the main vet, let's say, I think this thing falls over very, very quickly.
The bottom would fall out.
Yeah.
I've been very consistent saying that. I mean, yeah, DeMar has just been the level of floor raising that he brings is just so underrated, I think, to what he's done for this team.
No, look, I've felt that for a while. So I think DeMar being here has enabled Kobe and I to grow in the right role that's right for them at this point in their careers. They may exceed that at some point in time, but I think they still need someone like DeMar there as the primary option because they benefit from that. Now, to your point, having DeMar here, and it may not slow the growth of Kobe and Io, but it potentially takes you away from being in a position where you can get that next great guy that maybe you can bring in to be the new DeMar, the younger version of DeMar that you can put next to Kobe and Io and get that younger core sort of growing together. Like that's the problematic element of what this whole thing is. But like I said, if you take DeMar away, you bottom out, you're not competitive, you're not a playoff team. Like that's just where the franchise doesn't want to be. So they are stuck in that mold or they're stuck in that zone, I suppose, because of that. There are benefits to it, I would say, but there are also the trade-offs that you speak to. So it is problematic. It depends on the lens you want to apply, but it's frustrating, but it is what it is, William. It is what it is.
It is. I want to pick this back up because I have one more thing I want to say on it, but let's take a quick break, Mark, to tell everyone about Game Time.
Sure, William. The baseball season, I believe, has... kicked off. It's not kicked off. It's hit off the what do you call it in baseball when guys hit balls? Whatever they do in baseball, that season has started. So if you are a Cubs fan, if you're a Sox fan, if you're another fan of another team, whatever you might be, if you want to get to one of these games in opening day or opening week, whatever it might be, may I suggest hitting up our friends at Game Time, which is the place to get all of your tickets anytime you need a last minute deal, whether you're getting down to the baseball, whether you want to see the Bulls doing their thing in the plane, if you want to support Jerry Reinsdorf's bottom line by getting to that 9-10 playing game, then I would suggest using the Game Time app to do so. And when you do so, friends, if you want to use the Game Time app, if you use First Pitch, that's FIRSTPITCH, you will get $20 off your tickets your purchase between March 25 to April 14. So all you need to do is download the Game Time app, use that promo code First Pitch, and you can get your hands on some last minute deals, get the lowest price guaranteed, and get down there and support your team, whether it's your baseball team and or your mid basketball team, whatever it might be. Game Time is the place to get your tickets.
This episode is also brought to you by our friends at Ray Chevrolet. They are offering their best offers of the year for the March Radness sales event. Make your way to Ray Chevrolet on Route 12 in Fox Lake to join in on the savings. One of the top selling Chevy dealers in the Midwest, you'll always be able to shop one of Chicagoland's largest Chevy inventories. They make the perfect tailgate vehicles. Await at Ray Chevy during Truck Month for a limited time. They're offering 0% financing for 72 months on new Silverados with over 100 available. They also have 125 vehicles under $20,000. Pricing cannot be more affordable. So everyone loves the word free, and that's what you'll get this month at Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake, a free oil change. All you need to do is mention CHGO when scheduling your oil change. Start off the new year right and schedule it by April 1st. Visit Ray Chevrolet in Fox Lake or RayChevrolet.com. They've been serving the community since 1963. Ray Chevrolet, find new roads. All right, Mark, let's just pick that thread back up because, you tweeted something out a couple of weeks ago now. And, we don't have to spend too much time on this because we have a couple of diehard Discord questions. But you tweeted, maybe it was a couple of days ago, about, can the Bulls win with DeMar being their best guy? No, obviously, but that's not what they're trying to do. And until you kind of look at it through that lens, you're going to find yourself disappointed. So I was hoping you could just kind of make that, dive a little bit more into that and make that case. And I'll let you say it first and then I'll respond. Go ahead.
Well, the reason why I tweeted that whenever it was two weeks ago, can't even, to be honest, remember what I necessarily tweeted. But the reason, it was one of those games where I think it was when they were on that West Coast trip and DeMar was, saving them in that 3-1 West Coast trip, if I'm not mistaken. But anyways, the point being, I just threw that out there because I think, and I've been consistent on this, that I'm a big DeMar guy. I love DeMar and I still think he's underappreciated. The reason why I put that out there is because anytime you say something nice about DeMar, the most common retort that you will get back is, well, it's irrelevant because he's only leading you to 500. Well, it's like, well, it's not necessarily, you know, DeMar DeRozan applying the cap to this team. Like, DeMar DeRozan being here is not the reason that the Bulls are 500. And if you were to replace DeMar with someone else, or if you were to jettison him off somewhere else, that you would somehow magically be a better team. I know some Bulls fans have pushed back on that. Some have certainly wanted DeMar gone for a while, which is why I said what I said, because I think, and as I sort of said before, like 10 minutes ago, 5 minutes ago, whatever it was, like, I think the bottom would fall out of this Bulls team if you were to remove DeMar. And it bothers me that too many within this fan base still don't appreciate what he's done. Granted, the best version of DeMar has only got the Bulls to 500, but my issue with that framing or that thinking by the fan base is it's not DeMar that's kept the Bulls at 500. It's management, it's ownership. I don't think DeMar DeRozan as your best player can lead you to a championship, but do I think, you know, DeMar being your best player and having a team where the roster itself has 9 or 10 legitimate rotational guys next to him, I think that team could be a 4 or 5 team in the Eastern Conference. A 4 or 5 team in the Eastern Conference could get you to a second round, and depending on how matchups break, maybe you get that Cinderella run and you get yourself to the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not suggesting anything more than that, but I do think there was scope to do that, as I've been saying for the last few years. And I just, like, the reason I have my issues with management is they did all these good and creative things, but then they just stopped and they haven't changed or added anything since then. I mean, and when you stay stagnant in the NBA, you go backwards. So that's why I tweeted what I did, because I love and appreciate what DeMar is doing. He is doing everything he possibly can to you know, propel the Bulls up the standings. But it feels like, you know, it feels like he's trying harder than some other people in this organization. And that's what bothers me. And what bothers me more than that is that people take that out on DeMar, which is frustrating.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think, you know, DeMar has, because of the way that this team was put together, like, DeMar was not a 20-year-old kid coming in to the Bulls as a draft prospect where, you know, they kind of groomed him and turned him into a star. He's like, came over when he was 33 and kind of had some of his best individual statistical years, but obviously was not playing at the highest level of his career. And so it just feels like the Bulls are kind of obviously chasing the middle right now. And obviously I don't put that on DeMar. I think you're totally right to say that that's like a team led by this version of DeMar, a good team could be good. Yeah, I'm 100% with you that, like, the fact that the front office just kind of stopped figuring out ways to be creative and put this team together is the concerning part. And, you know, you mentioned it before that, you know, retaining DeMar kind of sets you back as far as finding the next guy who can replace him. And that's kind of my biggest concern. And look, I mean, it would suck to go through another rebuild. I really do think this team would be really extremely bad without DeMar. I'm not saying they mm-hmm. wouldn't win any games, but I just don't think they would be a very good team. Mm-hmm. And I think what's frustrating is that they keep trying to keep this alive in spite of kind of knowing what happens when you're in the situation. They all end the same way. All these mediocrity cycles end the same way. Eventually, the team gives up. They sell off the remaining parts for as much as they can get. Oftentimes it's not as much as they could have had they done it 2 or 3 years earlier, and they enter a rebuild. And I feel like they could have set themselves up by trading at last deadline, at this previous deadline, to not end up in a Wizards-like situation. And it just seems like now that's kind of where they're trending. So maybe they will come up with something creative. Maybe they can really do that. But it just seems like they're trending towards re-signing DeMar and running it back again. And I just feel like, you know, while it's maybe futile to just consistently go against what we think is going to happen or what it appears that the Bulls are going to do, I do think it's also important to point out to not just say like, well, that's the way it is, so let's accept it. Like, I think there's still some level of importance on beating the drum that I'm beating here. So that's what I'm going to do. Go ahead.
You're definitely right. But like, again, connecting this to DeMar, like, DeMar is holding them back for lack of a better phrasing, or is keeping them at this point in time. But like, again, it's not DeMar that's doing that. Like, it's not his decision to make
totally
this a mediocre, middling franchise. Like, that's on Arturis, it's on Michael Reinsdorf, Jerry, whoever else it might be that, you know, ultimately controls this thing. Like, that's their decision. So I definitely agree that bottoming out, saying goodbye to DeMar, turning things over to Kobe and Io, and being the fourth or fifth worst basketball team next season is probably in the best interest of this franchise in terms of trying to get back towards the top of the standings, not just the East, but, you know, the league standings. But as we spoke about last week and, you know, weeks prior to that, like, it just doesn't seem like it's the goal for this franchise. And the only way out of this, assuming you want to continue down this middling path, is getting a lot of lucky. Like, that's the only way. Like, so there's no creativity around that. And you know, as an example of that, like, maybe the Bulls, assuming they lose in the play-in, let's say they have the 10th or 11th pick, whatever it might be. Like, if that pick were to jump up, not to suggest that this draft is, you know, full of stars or anything of that nature, but maybe their pick jumps from 10 to 4 or something like that, or whatever it might be. And the player that they draft there, maybe AK hits it out of the park, and that small little thing changes dramatically what this Bulls franchise or the path of the franchise is on. Maybe it's not this season. Maybe it's next season, whereby they owe the pick to the Spurs, and maybe they try again to be mid, but they don't achieve it. They end up with a top pick somehow. Again, whether they're truly bottoming them out, or maybe they, you know, again, the 9th or 10th or 11th best team, meaning they get the 9th or 10th or 11th best lottery odds, and for whatever reason, maybe that, at that point, the pick jumps up and you grab one of those prize young guys from next season's draft. Or hell, maybe you stay where you are in the draft and, like, you get extremely lucky and you get yourself a Halliburton at 12 or whatever it might be, or you get yourself a Giannis at 13 or a Kawhi at 15, whatever it might be. Like, the only path out of this is by being extremely, extremely lucky, in the same way they were when they got Derrick Rose. Like, they had the 9th best odds or whatever they had at that point in time. There was nothing creative or scientific or anything done from an engineering point of view to get to that point to land a prospect like Derrick Rose. They got lucky. They got lucky with Michael Jordan as well. They need that luck to happen again if we want the Bulls to get off this current path that they're seemingly on. And until that luck happens, it just feels like the franchise is content with being in that middle until they find that luck that somehow propels them past what they're currently in.
Yeah, I mean, I think to me the problem is that at a certain point you have to create your own luck. You have to put yourself in positions to get lucky. And you know, that could mean tanking to maximize your lottery odds. It could mean keeping your salary books as open as possible to be able to sign a DeMar DeRozan type of player when they become available. So that brings me to a question from Austin on our diehard Discord. Oh, thanks, Lawrence. Apologies if this is already discussed, but as Gus G pointed out last night, it's something that I've noticed as well. Is Vucevic's age becoming a problem? Defensively, he looks slow, and some nights he's getting out-physicaled by younger bigs. It feels like he is a looming issue given his contract extension, and more apparent than DeMar, for example, but maybe it's normal for someone his age at this point in the season. You know, I don't want to spend too much time, like, sandbagging Vooch, because that, I mean, we can talk about like how the team has performed with him, whatever. But, like, to me, this is more a cautionary tale about the DeMar DeRozan signing. And so that's why I wanted to, you know, loop it into this conversation is like, you have seen Vooch kind of slide a little bit this year. Mm-hmm. His EPM is down. His offensive and defensive EPM are both down in a pretty big way. Obviously, shooting the ball really poorly this year, 28.4% from three. And he's a year younger than DeMar. So I don't know. I think that element of it too is you're capping yourself out if you do bring him back. You're extending the window of the current team to not be able to make more moves. Obviously, Zach LaVine trade notwithstanding, but I'm not optimistic about that netting the Bulls anything of value. And now you're obviously, you know, not really giving yourself a chance in the lottery either. So yeah, to me, I do think you have to create your own luck, or at least put yourselves in situations to get lucky. And I don't know what you would have to say about the way Vooch has played, but do you feel that way at all about, like, just the cautionary tale of it? Or do you feel like the way that DeMar has kind of helped Kobe and Io improve, he can keep doing that to where they get to yet another level and maybe it all is worth it?
I believe in it from a cautionary tale of not giving him a third year that's guaranteed like they did Vooch. like whether it's a partial guarantee, a team option or something, like that's where the creativity needs to come into it. That's where you need to negotiate harder than what they did with Vooch. The where I diverge a little bit is that DeMar would be coming off such a higher base than Vooch that if he were to slip 10 or 15% in the same way that Vooch has this season, then, you know, I mean, post All-Star break, what DeMar's been a 25, 5 and 5 guy. Like if you get 80% of that next season, like just let's just say he falls off 20%, you still got a 24 and 4 player, very loosely speaking. Like that's still a productive player in addition to all the things that you talked about around like how he could still be productive around Kobe and Io. Whereas Vooch, being that, you know, 16, 17 and 10 type of guy, you fall off 10, 15% from there, you get older, you get slower, as well as like playing that position on defense, that center position, that's more significant than what DeMar would be, any drop-off on defense that DeMar would have in terms of the overall wider team defensive structure. So I think there is more, I understand the parallels, but I guess there's more scope for a Vooch decline to hurt the team than a DeMar decline. Maybe, but yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. Like we talked about before, like if you take DeMar off this team, it bottoms out and it falls over. Maybe DeMar slipping 10, 15, 20% would also have a similar effect.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I also just think, you know, the idea of doing it again, it's like for what? And I guess we'll just have to see. Like, I don't want to jump to any conclusions about what they're going to do before they do it, but it certainly seems like they're trending towards signing DeMar to a similar contract to Vooch, whether that's $20 million per year for 3 years or 25 or whatever it ends up being. That's kind of what they're angling for. And I think that just puts you in a position where you can, where you have less flexibility, where you have less room for growth, and where you just have less options moving forward. So apologize to a French Bulls fan had a couple of questions about Javonte. We talked about him a little bit at the top of the show, but we did not get a chance to get to those today because we got to take another quick break. So Mark, can you tell everyone about Coors Light?
For sure, William. Well, we definitely appreciate all the questions. Shout out to French Bulls fan. We appreciate you just as we appreciate Coors Light. Oh, God, I love beer. And the thing I love about Coors Light is they just make it easier to be a fan, whatever it might be you're doing, whether it's life, the work, your team, whatever it might be. Sometimes things can be very stressful. It can be chaotic. Life can just get in the way. And sometimes you just need a moment to yourself. You just need a moment to chill out. And what better way to do so? Sitting down on the couch, thinking about life with a beer in hand, just contemplating everything and just taking the edge off. And that's what our friends at Coors Light can do with their beautiful cold lager that's cold filtered. It is so smooth and refreshing, particularly at this time of year when you just want to down a beer, when it's hot like it will be down here, down under later on today, just getting that Coors Light in hand. Getting that chill on. That's what I appreciate about Coors Light. And even better, William, you can get this beautiful, fine product delivered straight to your door when you jump on Instacart. If you go to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball, you can get this beautiful, beautiful product delivered straight to your door. It is that easy. You don't need to go to the store to get your hands on any Coors Light. Just follow that. Jump on Instacart. Like I said, go to CoorsLight.com/CHGO basketball, celebrate responsibly, and do so with a Coors Light in your hand.
While you've got that Coors in your hand, let me tell you about becoming a CHGO diehard. You guys have heard us talk about it a bunch in the past, but we want to advertise here because we had a great event today with the Cubs and Sox openers hosting shows at where was it today, Lawrence, if you have details on that? I can't remember.
Sox was down at the ballpark pub down by the park, and Cubs is actually up by Wrigley at Almost Home, and they will be doing a post game show, I believe, from there. The game's currently on. I'm pretty sure they're staying there to watch with people, and that they will do a post game live from there. Yes.
Well, obviously that happened already. We'll see what happens with the post game. You guys should go check that out. But all that to say, we're going to be doing more stuff like this all the time. We got a bunch of cool summer Fridays going on at Wrigley, where Braggs and Cody from CHGO Cubs and CHGO Bears are going to be hanging out in the bleachers. We're doing all sorts of awesome events, and you get discounted when you become a CHGO diehard member. You also, on top of getting all these free podcasts, get premium written content. We're doing awesome newsletters for Cubs and Sox, Bears draft is coming up. We're doing unlimited Caleb Williams watch. Great content coming out from Hogue and Moriano. I'm doing some video breakdowns, some stat breakdowns on my newsletter, which is all for diehard members only. The next one I have coming out, it's going to be either this weekend or early next week. And it's about the simple game, the post up, and whether or not it's actually an efficient source of offense and why the Bulls are doing it, even though it's not an efficient source of offense. So go check those out. They're really awesome. Obviously, you know, there's just so much great coverage from all of our sports and all of our teams. You also get access to the members only Discord, which I've referenced a couple of times here on the show, where we're answering some questions in these programs. So a lot of awesome perks. Check it out at allchgo.com and search how to become a diehard. All right, Mark, we've got about 10 more minutes of the show. And we've got some news to break. So I'm just going to turn it over to you here.
Okay. Well, I'm assuming to, well, look, let's for the 36 years I've been on this earth, William, I've had an aversion to mashed potato. And last night I had some and it went down smoothly. So that's the news. It was good. I'm assuming that's what you're referring to.
Yeah, that was the news I'm referring to.
No, look, I'll save you. I'll save you from that. I was being silly.
It was silly. I liked it. I love mashed potatoes.
Look, the news is I'm quitting. That's the news. I'm out. See ya. We can end the podcast there. No, look, being serious for a moment. Yeah, this is my last podcast ever. Potentially, ever. Maybe. I might make a guest appearance here or there, somewhere here, maybe at other places, who knows. But in terms of being a regular fixture, if I could even consider myself that here at CHGO, like that won't be anymore. I'll be today's effectively my last day at CHGO Bulls. Hanging it all up, hanging up the podcast mic or taking off the headphones, whatever analogy you want to throw out there, assuming that that's even an analogy, whatever it might be. This is my last shirt. I don't know what else to say beyond that. I guess I have my reasons as to why I've come to this decision, but ultimately it is
that private.
Yeah, no, look, there's certain things that I will keep private, but generally speaking, this is just the right time for me to exit. There's a number of things happening in my actual life, let's say, that calls for my time. My son will be 3 in a couple months. I have a daughter on the way in a matter of days, not weeks. There's a lot happening personally. This isn't my job. It's always funny when people trash me for my takes and thinking that this is my job. It's not. This is just something that I've enjoyed doing just because I'm an opinionated idiot who has been a diehard of this team for 20, damn near 30 years even. This has just been a thing like that I've enjoyed doing, connecting with Bulls fans, having a chat about the team that we all love and support. So this isn't my career is the point. I do have a career outside of this that demands my time. My family demands my time. But frankly, when you get to this point in life, particularly, when this isn't your job, and even more so for me being abroad and, having to juggle the whole time zones and those sorts of things, you only get so much time to yourself, or you only get so much free time in a day that you can commit to other things. And, whilst I have all these other responsibilities, my family, my work, my career, those sorts of things, beyond CHGO, beyond the Bulls, like an element of my decision is just, I just don't love it like I used to in terms of the Bulls. And, it sucks. But I think what would be worse is me pretending that I do, me pretending to roll up here every week and, half-assing a podcast and giving the people that tune into CHGO every single week expecting some good content, like just me turning up and half-assing about it, about a team that I no longer truly love for a whole number of different reasons. I can't do that either. So it's the right decision on a number of different fronts for me. It's not an easy decision because I don't ultimately want to be doing this, but I guess for me, William, like, again, you know, when I using all those, examples or all the things that I mentioned there, family, work, so little time, it's more priorities. Like, the thing that I've realized is that particularly over the last 5 to 10 years, as I've gotten more into this, I refuse to call myself a content creator because that just sounds so obnoxious. But when you do this thing, so much of the free time or the time that you have committed to basketball is through this Bulls prism. And 98% of the basketball I watch has been Chicago Bulls over the last 5, 10, 15 years. I've come to the realization that I am missing out on so much good basketball that the chance that I do get to watch basketball is always being committed to the Bulls. And I just don't enjoy watching the Bulls as much as I used to. I don't have that connection to the team as much as I used to. And if my only escape from a sporting point of view is basketball and I'm only watching the Bulls, I am missing out on some stuff. And that isn't to say that if you sit there and love this team and watch every single game that you are wrong to do so. Everyone should fan however they want to. We obviously here at CHGO appreciate all you diehards and the support that you give us and the support you give to the team. But for me, just knowing where I'm at in life and my priorities and things I want to do even away from basketball, it just doesn't make sense for me to continue to do this. Again, knowing the fact that this isn't my day job, that this is a side thing, and you know, it just doing it from afar is no longer sustainable given my work and family life. So that's the decision. That's where I've come to, and yeah, it is what it is. I just can't justify it anymore.
Getting a lot of love in the comments from So Ripped, Golden Force, Fish, all these people thanking and appreciating you. I certainly thank and appreciate you. I feel like I owe so much of my like career to you in a weird way, because like we started blogging together like in 2015 when it was the like Mike Dunleavy, you know, playoff series where Giannis like decked him and Tibbs got fired shortly after that. That was like the first time I really started to get into writing about basketball and immediately got connected to you. The first podcast I ever did was with you and Mort on Dennis Podman. Like we did Bulls Confidential, Bloggable, I mean, all these things. And then I was kind of out of it for a while. Like I was kind of after The Athletic and Bleacher Report, I was kind of just like deciding if I wanted to like write a newsletter on my own or like how much I wanted to still be connected to the Bulls and writing about them. And you were doing HQ. And so we kind of like linked up on that. And then all of a sudden that turned into CHGO. And so, yeah, I just feel like I obviously going to miss talk with you every week. We'll still talk every week, but obviously not in the same capacity. But I just, in addition to missing talking with you and ripping the Bulls with you, just really appreciate everything from over the past 10 years almost. So kind of crazy. I've been dreading doing this podcast for the last month or so after we talked about this, but you've kind of been like saying, oh, maybe I should give this up for like the last 2 years. So yeah. It's been a long, drawn out thing. So I don't know, maybe there's some relief in putting it behind us, but just so much gratitude and appreciation from me heading your way. And obviously you are always welcome to come back and rip off some takes on the CHGO Bulls podcast whenever you want. But yeah, I just will miss the DMs and everything, but obviously we'll still be chatting. But Lawrence had some funny graphics made up to lighten the mood here, so just
well, people are wondering what your actual career is, and I did find a photo of you, so I have that to show everyone. That's
you're gonna have to tune into the YouTube if you're listening to this as a podcaster. Gonna have to tune into the YouTube to see these.
What is that career, Lawrence?
Kangarooist.
Fondling marsupials, is that what it is?
Yeah, I believe fondling marsupials is the job.
That's the job title.
But
we got the Shady Dingo.
Yeah, our old friend the Shady Dingo is here. He was dressed like Axl Rose. He will miss you a lot.
Thank you.
Of course, we'll all miss the day he showed up as Slash. That was a day. You know, since you do have a daughter coming, I know I get a lot of hours in of watching Bluey. So I thought we should show you as
That's a good one.
dad. That is from the episode Stump Fest, which I talked about last time. Yeah. I had this podcast with you. So I thought that was good. But yeah.
That is extremely creative, Lawrence. That's why you are the head of production here at CHGO. But like, look, just before we go, and you know, William, you mentioned that I've been toying with this for years. And in some respects, like, you know, thinking about Balls HQ, like being in a one-man thing, like it got stale for me. And I was thinking about exiting a number of years ago. But then I thought, no, let's keep doing this. Let's change it up. Let's bring William on. Well, let's ask the question to see if he would come on. And for some reason, he said yes and decided to be the co-host to that show. And I'm glad
to be a content creator, you know?
Well, I'm glad you did because it made me stay. And I've had a tremendous amount of joy doing this with you for however many damn years we've been doing it. Now, you mentioned Bulls Confidential. Like, I think I was going back through some old DMs the other day, and I want to say that was like December 2015, somewhere in that range, where you and I linked up on that. Bulls HQ, that was in like 21, 22, somewhere like that. And then you mentioned the whole CHGO thing that coming to be in early 23.
And not to mention, like, you getting to come to Chicago and go to
those games, that's what I wanted to stand on the court and being
on the set. And that was just a very cool moment that we got to have.
Well, like, that's always been the difficulty for me in terms of moving on. Like, it's, I didn't want to, because the reason why, and again, the more I've thinking or have been thinking about this decision and reflecting on everything, like, the reason I've stayed in this Bulls sphere so long is because the Bulls have connected me to so many cool and amazing things, places, people. And that's why I kept coming back. And that's the part that's going to be difficult to leave. But I am, what gives me solace in this decision is the fact that I was able to get to Chicago this time last year, that I was able to, like, some of my life goals, if you want to call them that, was to experience Chicago. Like, to, for me, getting on a plane in itself is a problematic thing. But, you know, just getting out of my comfort zone, going to a completely different country, getting to Chicago and experiencing that amazing city. Like, that was I'll never forget that. Like, a life experience I'll never forget. Getting to a Bulls game is something I'll always wanted to do, and I got to do it. You know, I always dreamed of being, maybe dream's a bit strong, but, like, I wanted to ultimately get into sports media as a career. But, you know, that's difficult to do from afar. But, like, for that 2-week period that I was in Chicago, it kind of felt like that was my day job, turning up to CHGO and doing this. But more importantly, like, it gave me the opportunity to connect with you in person, to meet you in person, which is something I always wanted to do, with Matt and Dave as well, just to be in their presence on a daily basis was incredible. But then even, like, connecting with people who I hadn't met before, whether it was complete strangers or people at CHGO who I sort of knew of, but didn't necessarily know, and becoming friends with the likes of Joey and Lawrence and the rest of the team. Like, I'm glad CHGO was a thing and that I got to be part of it for as long as I did. It's coming to a conclusion now, and like I said, it is sad on some levels. It is difficult on a lot of levels to say goodbye, and the fact that I can't do this every week with you going forward, or won't get to chat with you and Dave and Matt going forward, and the rest of the fan base, like, that's the hard part, because that's what's ultimately kept me doing this, is just connecting with people across the globe and talking Bulls. But yeah, as much as it is painful on some levels, it is the right decision for me, from a family point of view, from a career point of view. But like I said before, I just don't feel the same way about this team as I did previously, and I can't support them to the same degree as I did previously for a number of different reasons. And if I can't support them to that degree, then I'm not doing my job as a podcaster to the level I need to. So it's time for me to sign off, time for me to say goodbye, as difficult as that is on some level, but it's time to say goodbye.
That it is. I know you did not want to make a whole thing about this. Lawrence, did you want to say something?
I did. I know that he's saying goodbye to us, but he's definitely going to join up with DNVR, isn't he?
I mean, well, it's definitely a PHNX.
No comment.
They're almost as mid as the Bulls, but maybe they'll have me over there. Maybe this is a sly career move, you know, just an ulterior motive in the background. But
if you can only watch a little basketball, I would suggest Jokic, but that's me.
Yeah, no, they're good and fun to watch. Maybe.
All right. Well, I know you didn't want to make too big of a deal about this. We've already been going on. But
yeah, that'll do.
Unless you have any final words, maybe you can sign us out one last time.
Well, look, I'm out of here, friends. Appreciate everyone's support, whether it was at Bulls Confidential, Bulls HQ, at CHGO, on Twitter. If I bust your balls on there before, I apologize. Not really, but sorry. Not really. But look, this is the end for me, like I said, but it's not the end of CHGO. Matt, Dave, and William will be back. I think, when do the Bulls play next? See, this speaks to my level of being checked out. I don't even know what the next game is.
We'll be back for pregame tomorrow night before the Bulls-Nets game.
Well, there you go.
Early tips. Matt, I think pregame is at 5:30.
Matt, Dave, and William will have you covered for Bulls versus Nets. So be back. You know where to grab us. You know where to follow him at Will_Gottlieb. Don't follow me on Twitter because I probably won't be tweeting much going forward. At CHGO_Bulls. Matt and Dave will coming back on Saturday night. Friday evening for you in the US. Wrapping up things for Bulls Nets. What a riveting game that will be. So tune in. We appreciate everyone supporting us here at CHGO. And I guess I was going to say until next time, but who knows when that will be, if there ever will be. But nonetheless, appreciate everyone's support. See you, Bulls fans. Y'all silly like the mayor.